Swan Show, brought to you by Lever Brothers Company, with our great singing star, Doris Day. A new singing favorite, Bill Ferrell. Irene Ryan, Jack Kirkwood, the Four Hits and a Miss, the new Les Brown Band, and yours truly, Hi Averback.
Will you swan exclusively, how about you?
You.
For me, this is Bob back in Hollywood Hope telling you gals to always scrub with Swan in the Tub, and you won't have to win your husband at the Pyramid Club.
And now, Bob Hope's Swan's Eye View of the News. Washington, D.C. this week was officially declared Boy Scout Week as the nation once more paid annual tribute to that fine organization, the Boy Scouts of America.
Yes, sir, and that's a great group of kids, and I'm proud to say that I used to be a Boy Scout, and I was a good one, too. When they gave me the test for pitching camp, it only took me 10 seconds to fasten the flap on my tent. Of course, I'd had 10 years basic training with long underwear. I'll never forget my first good deed. I helped an old lady across the street, and that was when I first met Crosby. I'll never forget my old scoutmaster either. He taught us how to be careful when using a knife and axe. Yes, sir, I'll never forget him. Good old Stumpy Jones. Those are the days. Our scoutmaster used to take us out in the woods and tell us about the birds and the bees, then spend the next 12 hours trying to get us down out of the trees.
The nation at large, Dan Cupid was busy polishing his bow and arrows this week as America prepared for its time-honored celebration of Valentine's Day.
This morning I received my usual Valentine from the Internal Revenue Department, a tax form done in red with a note at the bottom, eat your heart out. I got a very sentimental Valentine from Jack Benny. Roses are red, violets are blue. This card comes to you, postage due. Valentine's Day always makes me think of my first girlfriend, Lucy. She was 9 and I was 10. Now, one night we kissed and the braces in our teeth locked. After that, we went every place together. The electric company sent me a Valentine, though. It said, our love for you from the rooftops we'll shout. You better read this fast. In a few minutes, your lights go out.
Portland, Oregon. This week, a state senator proposed a bill that would prohibit the sale of popcorn in movie houses on the grounds that popcorn interferes with the showing of the picture.
I hear one of the main reasons movie managers want to ban popcorn is because it smells up their theaters. I wonder what excuse I'll use now. They're going to outlaw popcorn. Outlaw and pop law. I took my girl to see the Pale Face, and during my big dramatic scene, I noticed tears in her eyes. I said, don't cry. Everything turns out all right. She added, who's crying? I got salt in my hangnail. That's what she said. I'm glad I didn't. Those popcorn machines really slow up seating, too. Last week, the fair amount of man was putting a nickel in the popcorn machine when an usher rushed up and said, hurry, Bob Hope's going on. And the fellow answered, please, not while I'm eating.
Hollywood, California. As its United Airlines DC-6 landed in Burbank, the Bob Hope troop completed a 5-week tour of the country.
Yes, sir, and as our plane approached the airport, we flew over a typical California scene. There, basking in the sun, were thousands of people in shorts. It was good to see Santa meet again. And it surprised me, while I was gone, Paramount put air conditioning in my dressing room. It's not really air conditioning. They just drilled a hole in the lid. Paramount has a special way of welcoming you home. For the big stars, they have a choir singing, you're the top. For the medium stars, a double quartet does Hooray for Hollywood. When I arrived, a street cleaner banged 2 garbage cans together, threw up a handful of confetti and said, say it isn't so.
California. Don't miss the Swan Show next week when Bob Hope presents Look Magazine's Annual Achievement Award. Olivia de Havilland, Walter Wanger, Anatole Buck, Gene Herschel, Fred Astaire, and many other of Hollywood's great will be here in person. Don't forget, next week's Bob Hope Show and next week's issue of Look Magazine. The cover features those famous cover girls, Olivia de Havilland and Pout Snout in person. And now, Bob, could you get Les Brown to give me an impressive fanfare for this next item?
All right, go ahead, Les. That sweet sound like the mating call of a mashed potato. Come on, Les, play one as if your dues were paid up, will you please?
Would you like to win the vacation of a lifetime? Hurry, hurry, you may be a winner. Get a pencil and paper tonight and enter Lever's sensational $50,000 travel contest. Win a round-the-world tour for two, all travel expenses paid, plus pocket money and clothes allowance, or you can have $10,000 in cash.
There are 15 second prizes, an all-expense trip to Europe for each winner, or $2,500 in cash. All trips arranged by Thomas Cook and Son. In addition, there are $4,000 in cash prizes.
It's easy to enter, so get started tonight. Here's all you do. Finish this statement in 25 words or less. I like large-size Swan soap because... Send each entry with your wrapper from a cake of large-size Swan to Lever Tour the World Contest, Box 1, New York 8, New York.
That's Box 1, New York 8, New York. Only residents of the continental United States, Alaska, and Hawaii are eligible.
Follow the complete rules on the entry blank you get at your store. Enter now. You, yes, you, can win an all-expense trip for two people around the world.
Here's a gal that's made many a new friend around the country in the past 5 weeks. Here with Les Brown and his band of renown, Miss Doris Day.
Someone like you cures everything gloomy, turns wrong into right, brightens the night, brings happiness to me. Me luckier than throwing a seven, takes me nearer to heaven than anyone's allowed to do. When your heart is talking, I feel like I'm walking on a cloud. But someone like you, someday I'll find someone I can boast to, somebody to hug, a bug in a rug to snuggle up close to. And whenever I do, do you know the who I'll give the most to? You pray on my mind, say till I find someone like you. Someday I'll find someone I can boast to, somebody to hug, a bug in a rug to snuggle up close to. And whenever I do, do you know the who I'll give the most to? You pray on my mind, say till I find someone like you for me, until I find someone like you.
Seneca Tribe for that peace pipe. I appreciate it.
Folks, Bob Hope landed back in Hollywood early this morning, tired but happy. Now let's look into the taxi cab that's taking Doris Day and Bob home.
Oh, this cab can't get me home too quick, Bob. I'm tired.
Yeah, no, let's see, Doris. I paid for the cab in St. Louis, you paid for the cab in Amarillo, and I paid in Oakland.
Yeah, I know, Bob. It's my turn to pay.
How'd you know?
You've got your hand in my purse.
I was just looking for my eyelash curler. Somebody stole it.
Bob, you know, I'm worried about you. You look terribly tired.
Well, who's tired?
Well, you are. You act so fidgety and nervous, I wouldn't be surprised if you blew your cork.
Blow my cork? Doris, it's just that I'm so happy to be back in California, sunny California, where it's never cold, the weather's always warm, and it never sleets or rains. What was that?
Your cork. Oh, I'm really glad to be back home, Bob. I'm so happy to see California. I could get out of this cab right now and kiss the ground.
Don't do that, Doris. Last time I got home, I kissed the ground. The gopher came out and kissed me back. Anyway, I'm here with you. Wouldn't you rather kiss me?
I don't know. I've never kissed a gopher.
By the way, Doris, where's Miss Ryan?
Oh, she's sitting up front with the driver. She got in while you were putting the baggage in the back.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Yeah, look at her up there. I bet she's starting a flirtation. Let's slide back the window and listen.
And after my third operation, the doctor said there wasn't anything more to take out, so we had to throw a few things back in.
Look, lady, I'm tired of hearing about your ailments. I'm trying to listen to the car motor. You hear that? One of the gaskets is slapping.
That's what the doctor said was wrong with my liver.
Madam, I'm a very nervous man.
Miss Ryan, the driver's got enough trouble.
Well, Mr. Hope, I was just telling him about my pain. You know, that clinic in Denver gave me a wonderful remedy for my shooting pain.
Really?
Yes. They told me to drink 2 glasses of brandy after every meal.
Well, brandy is pretty intoxicating. Did it stop your shooting pain?
No, but it sure ruined their aim.
John, I thought you'd be in a more cheerful mood now that we're home.
Oh, I will be as soon as I have another examination.
What's wrong now?
Well, you see, I had an operation during the war, and there was a shortage of surgical threads, so they sewed me up with telephone wire.
Telephone wire?
Yes. I didn't notice anything peculiar at first. But the last time the doctor put a stethoscope on me, he kept hearing busy signals and getting the correct time.
Well, don't worry till your appendix gets a call from Stop the Music.
Oh, here's my house, Bob. Miss Ryan and I will get out right here.
See you later, Doris. Goodbye, Miss Ryan. I know you'll feel great now that you're back in California.
Yes, it's a wonderful state. Uh-huh. My Uncle Julius loved California till the day he died. In fact, in his will, he said he didn't want to leave California even after he was gone.
He didn't want to leave after he was gone?
No. So we didn't bury him.
You didn't?
No. We just put him on a bar stool in Glendale, and everybody thinks he's watching television. Bye now.
Well, here's my house. I left it in charge of a rental agency. I wonder if anybody rented it for the few weeks I was gone. Boy, look at all those empty liquor bottles on the front porch. Slow gin, fast gin. And just stay where you are and I'll catch up with you. I'll find out about this.
Come on, now open that door.
What do you want, boy?
Listen, what do I want? Do you know who owns this house?
Oh, I'm just renting. But whoever owns this joint must have a name that begins with H. It's embroidered on everything around the place.
H, huh? Who do you suppose it is?
I don't know, but from the looks of the clothes in the closet, it must be Hildegard.
Yeah, I know the guy, and he's built like that. I don't want to seem curious, but why did you rent this house?
Well, it's a nice neighborhood for my business. You see, I'm the head of a corporation that merges small investments and goes in the attendant interest thereon with all stockholders, sharing in a co-partnership which varies with the current monetary exchange.
What does that mean?
I'm a bookie.
You mean you take people's hard-earned wages that should go for food and clothing, and leave them penniless and hungry? You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I am, boy. Sometimes I get to crying so hard I can't see to count the money.
Well, you must be cleaning up here.
Oh, not so much. Sometimes you just can't win. Take last month, I had a sure thing. There were only 2 horses in the race. My horse had 2 electric batteries under the saddle. They fed the horse a bucket of Benzedrine. My wife was the jockey, and she rode with an ice pick for a whip. But the other horse won.
Well, how'd that happen?
One of the judges was crooked. Look, would you like to risk $10 on a horse, boy?
No.
$5?
No.
How about some poker for a dollar?
No.
Want to bet 10 cents, stand across the room and spit in the pop bottle?
No, I don't want to take advantage of you. I can spit straighter than anybody. I used to put out fires in glove compartments at a car wash.
Sure you don't want to play any poker?
Well,
come on. Put some money in the pot, boy.
Why are you so dollar hungry?
Well, I can't help it. You won't believe this. My family was awful poor. We were miserable. Our cupboards were as bare as a fan dancer in a tornado. We didn't have nothing to eat at all.
Honest?
We couldn't even afford real bait for the mousetrap. One night we took a magazine, went through it, and we found the food advertisements. Then we baited the trap with a picture of a piece of cheese.
Well, what did you catch?
A picture of a mouse. Look, boy, I want to help you out. Now, how would you like to be rich? I'm going to get you more money than you thought there was in the whole world.
Well, how can you? Joseph's got a butler that barks like a dog. That's the kind of lines I get. He gets a picture of a mouse, I get a... Lighters, whipping room!
Oh, look, I'm going to give you a horse in the next race that can't lose.
What's the name of the horse?
Grandma's Tweezers. Believe me, put your last cent on it.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. Here's my last 50 now. You sure can win?
Oh, you'll be rich. The race is starting right now. I'll turn it on.
Coming out of the starting gate right now.
No, it isn't. I was mistaken. The winner is the favorite of millions. Swan Soap.
Did he say the winner was Swan Soap?
Yes.
Good. I had $50 on that horse.
Wait a second. You told me to bet on Grandma's Tweezers. You said it couldn't lose. If it was such a sure thing, how does it happen? How does it happen you had your money on another horse?
Oh, I don't know. Just lucky, I guess.
Here's our boy Baritone that's been booming him from coast to coast this past month. With Hoagy Carmichael's inspirational masterpiece. And then Billy Farrell.
Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely night dreaming of a song, the melody haunts my reverie, and I am once again with you. But that was long ago, and now my consolation is in the stardust of a song.
international news this week has been the possible meeting of Joseph Stalin and President Truman here in America. If Joseph Stalin were to come to America, what would his reactions be? What sort of story would he tell of his trip and the meeting?
My name is Marshal Joseph Stalin. 2 weeks ago, I set sail for America on my own private ship, the SS Borscht. After we left Moscow, it was very rough sailing the first 2,000 miles. Then we reached water. Finally, after a week at sea, our boat pulled into New York Harbor. I looked across the railing and said, "Hello, America. Hello, Statue of Liberty. Hello, Mort." I'll never forget that exciting moment when I arrived in America and stepped off the boat. Next time, I'll wait till they lower the gangplank. On the dock in New York, we were met by a crowd of newspapermen.
Marshal Stalin, I'm from the press. What do you intend to discuss with President Truman?
I will discuss the lifting of the Berlin blockade. I will also be willing to cut down on armaments. There is one thing, however, that I will not do.
What's that?
I will not move to another network. I don't think.
Marshal Stalin, do you believe there will be war between your country and ours?
I can't answer that unless I discuss it with someone who knows more about it than I do.
You mean Molotov?
No, Drew Pearson.
Mr. Stalin, my name is Beverly Beasley, and I represent the woman's fashion magazine, Girdle.
How do you do?
My magazine would like to know what you think of the way women dress in Russia.
I don't know.
Why?
They keep their shades down.
Marshal Stalin, is it true that Russia has the lowest divorce rate of any country in the world?
No, our divorce rate is low because I recently issued a new order to the State Department. I said,
"Dazhyavanda Danid Vajic, Yachibla Lublu." What does that mean?
Keep out of show out of Russia. After the interview, my wife and I left for the hotel in a taxicab. We drove up Wall Street.
Chewy.
Then by the First National Bank.
Petulia.
And then past Rock. And then past Rockefeller Center.
Petulia.
Then we stopped while the cab driver put the windshield wipers on the inside. A few minutes later, my wife and I arrived at our hotel and we're alone in our room.
Joseph.
What is it, Mamichka?
We're alone in this nice hotel suite. Could I have a little kiss?
Sure, darling.
Oh, Joseph. The mustache tickles.
Well, why don't you shave yours off? This is some room, huh, Bubovichka?
Look, Joe, on the bed. Two sheets.
Don't open any doors. There must be two Arabs up here taking a bath.
No, Papa. Over here they use sheets to sleep on.
Some country. Can't afford straw, huh?
Joe, when are you going to see Harry?
Tomorrow, Mamichka.
But I haven't got a thing to wear to the meeting.
Don't be silly. When we left Moscow, didn't I buy you a beautiful peasant blouse?
Yes, but it's no good.
Why not?
The peasant is still in it.
Sorry, we have no time to buy clothes for you.
Well, I suppose I could wear the dress I have on. Everybody tells me I look like Rita Hayworth in it.
Rita Hayworth, you look more like Ali Khan. The next morning was the day of my meeting with the president. I wanted to impress Mr. Truman, so I put on my 250 medals and decorations. When I walked outside the hotel, I was cold. I should have put on clothes along with the medals. I finally got to the White House. The butler showed me to my room. It was beautifully furnished and equipped with every modern convenience. Television set, electric blanket, built-in refrigerator, and a Hoover vacuum cleaner with J. Edgar Hoover inside there. I got unpacked. It was almost time for the meeting.
afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We are speaking to you from the Gold Room of the White House, Washington, D.C. We are here to give you an eyewitness account of one of the most historic meetings of all time. As you know, we... Oh, wait. President Harry S. Truman has just entered the room today. Mr. Truman takes a seat. And now another door in the room opens, and Marshal Joseph Stalin enters and is walking over to stand alongside President Truman. Now the two men face each other, and at last the historic moment has come. Is Mr. Truman ready?
Yes.
Is Marshal Stalin ready?
Ready.
Way down in the door.
Ladies and gentlemen, about 2 o'clock this morning, a big United Airlines DC-6 kissed the concrete at Burbank, and our thrilling 15,000-mile United States safari was back at home base. We played some 40 cities and shook hands with thousands of fine people. And in the wee hours this morning, we shook hands and said so long to 8 of the finest, the crew of that DC-6. Captain Ed Kiesig, Sam Miller, co-pilot Claire Jarvis, the navigator, the hostesses, B. Cowley and Winnie Porter, and Roy Powers, Jim Weir, and Ed York. Fine bunch of engineers. Believe me, the DC-6 and a crew like that is a combination that's hard to beat. They made the trip as smooth and pleasant as 15,000 miles to the Waldorf. Played a different city every day for 5 weeks, and the Big Six only missed one day, Providence, Rhode Island. Seems Providence was having a little Southern California weather that night. But we're warning you, Providence, we'll be back and soon. And the sooner we can visit every city and town in America, the better. Because to us, there's nothing more exhilarating than meeting all the different kinds of people who make up this one kind of country. A country where the kind of thing that happened to Cardinal Munzenti would have to happen over Uncle Sam's dead body. Thank you.